Blog Talk Radio.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
This is Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast and live-hosted web series on the Citadel.
No one can see my motions. I have to remember, no one can see that I'm like, woo!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the newest episode of Indie Inner Tube. We are live, and we are your home for all that is hot and streaming in the world of online independent entertainment, and this is episode number...
112.
Yeah. 112, and we are here with you today to talk a web series, and guess what?
What?
Guess what?
What?
Can you up my microphone just a skosh?
Well, are you just muted now?
Thank you. Guess what? Today is open phones and open topics. We are going to review some shows. We've got topics coming in off the news wire, and we've got... all kinds of stuff to talk about, and anything you guys want to talk about in the chat room. And that's, you know, that's what's happening. That's what's happening.
One of those freebies.
Yeah, we haven't had a freebie show in a while, so it's going to be kind of fun. I mean, we haven't been able to do the second half of the show with open phones in a long time, and that's very cool. It's overdue,
woo!
I think. What do you think?
I think so, too. Sometimes it's one of those where we just want to talk and drone on. I don't think anybody... really
care.
I know they care, but they don't, because it's also a freebie smorg in the chat room. Not that it's not anyway, but you know, any topic is open for discussion in the chat room for sure, and it just snowballs and goes crazy, and it's fun. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we can talk about a little bit about TV too. I know that Amber, Gift of Amber, just said that have you been watching the tweets and posts about Sci-Fi censoring Lost Girl? I actually did see it.
Fixing it.
Okay. I actually did see that, Gift of Amber, and I will tell you, I'm a little dismayed.
I told you they were going to do it.
No, but wait. They claim that they're doing it for time.
Yeah, they claim the same thing.
But
for
they
Sex
didn't.
In the City.
Oh no, wait. They didn't censor Dyson naked in the shower. They didn't cut that at all for time.
No, they just cut.
But they
the
cut Lauren
down.
Running her hand down Beau's arm for time.
Yeah. They're cutting...
I'm like, really? Is it just because, what, they have too much fucking chemistry?
They're cutting the lesbian content because
but,
it wicks people
And I'm not really in the mood to cut Sci-Fi any slack because they knew what the show was before they picked it up.
I knew they were going to... As soon as they got it, I was like, they're going to censor it. If you're not going to censor
but see,
the
you know,
guy,
do you know why that's stupid on their
the
part?
Girl.
Do you know why that's stupid on their part? Because Lost Girl was one of the most pirated shows. To their credit, they were proud of it.
Well, now it's going to be
It was one of the most torrented shows during its first season. And everybody already knows what the content of the first and second seasons are just from watching Twitter and all of this stuff. And seeing recaps on After Ellen and stuff like that, or downloading the episodes. If you censor it, Sci-Fi, they fucking know.
Well, not only that.
You are, like Zan just said, you are dumbasses.
Well, you have to think, too. It's like, but we can censor that, but we can't censor Amanda Tapping kissing another girl on Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, we can't censor having Stargate Universe.
It's because they have so much
character.
Chemistry, I'm telling you. And Carrie Bowman just said, what is Sci-Fi saying? They're saying that they cut strictly for time. I don't believe that for a second. And Gift of Amber, I will also cut them enough slack that I don't think they're cutting lesbian content because of homophobic idiots on their message boards. Because
no.
If you look at the overall fan reaction to Lost Girl, it is the lesbian pairing who is the most popular worldwide. They are doing this. They're cutting off their nose despite their face, their homophobic little faces here. And I'm sorry, that's what
but
it is.
But I don't know why they're doing it, because it's not like they don't have or haven't shown... Or haven't had other shows with similar. I don't know. They could honestly be cutting for time, and they're just their editors is.
Oh, look
weird.
At that! Justin said to Mark Gardner, he finally finished a great finale. That reminds me. Hey, Mark.
We were talking about this today.
Hey, Mark, how about season two? Okay, no, we're not going to bug Mark about season two. What do we want to talk about today? I don't even know. Well, I'll tell you one of the things you know we're going to talk about is the digital new fronts.
Oh, really?
But the first thing I want to talk about is Celebrate the Web 6, Level Up.
Woo!
As you all probably already know, that on May, or a little while ago, I'm trying to find exact. On April 4th, it went up. Celebrate the Web 6, Level Up is up. It's the third festival. And they're happy to announce that they're partnering with VidCon to provide the judges and audience choice prizes a fantastic opportunity to be screened on Industry Day at VidCon in the Anaheim Convention Center.
What?
And in addition to the screening, each winning team will receive two passes to VidCon, a hotel room near the Anaheim Convention Center, and $250 towards travel costs.
Shit, what? Get out. Get out.
You can find out all the information at celebratetheweb.com.
Which we are linking to on our website as well. So that, but it points directly to them. So don't.
As you all know, we are a very big supporter of all of the ladies involved in Celebrate the Web. And yes, SAG and After New Media will offer all participating teams an expedited signatory process so that teams can use union actors in their pilots if they choose to.
Yes. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
You know who else is working with them?
Machinima also confirmed their recent involvement with Celebrate the Web.
Yeah!
As did AudioSocket, which is a music licensing company, and they have graciously opened their library to all Celebrate the Web teams who need it.
Which is awesome.
Not only will the teams not have to pay licensing fees for utilizing the library of over 30,000 songs, but they will be. But AudioSocket will pay the artist whose music you use.
Check that out. See? That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even with, like, web series and certain things. Like, hey, we're going to help you out with this by giving you this, and we're still going to pay the actors, or we're still going to pay the shows, or we're just going to distribute you this way. But no.
Now, what is Mark linking to in the chat room?
I don't even know.
What is he talking about?
I don't know.
I've already lost the thread there. I did see that. Kelsey Robinson tweeted she's going to be involved in a new web series called Doris and Belinda.
Ah.
But let's get the albatross, the elephant, the big albatross in the room out of the way. Digital new fronts. Let's talk about it. Now, I know that there were indie people involved. Now, again, like Blake Calhoun said earlier, Felicia Day hasn't been indie for a couple of years. But she was there, as was Darren Strauss and Greg Storm and...
Tom Conkle
had a show submitted for Screen. I don't think he was actually there.
I don't believe he was there, but he
Julianne Emery.
His presence was there.
Here's my beef. Even though there was an indie presence, that's not what got covered. It's not what got tweeted about. It's not what got talked about. And you can say all that you want, and as many times as you want, as loudly as you want, that that's because the media covers what they will cover.
By who, Julie? By who?
The bottom part. The bottom line for me. Is that
Tina was there? Tina Smith Award.
Tina, see, we didn't even know, and that's the problem. Major media outlets, of course, are going to cover Tom Hanks and Katie Couric because they are such groundbreakers in the web series space. But there was no indie press there. There was no press there that actually covers this space. No, we were not there, and that I think is a travesty. Because we know that you guys can hear about Katie Couric and Tom Hanks and their involvement in all of this and what Hulu is doing and AOL and YouTube and all of that stuff. You can hear that from anybody. But there was not a lot of extensive coverage of people like Julianne Emery and Tina Cecil Ward and Darren Strauss who were also there. And I missed the live feed that went out with Julianne Emery. On a break in the morning programming. And that's too bad. Because we watched a lot of wall-to-wall coverage. But the fact that there was no indie press there. And I say that without, you know, not even knowing if we could have made it there. But I guarantee you that if we would have been there, what you would have gotten coverage of is, holy shit, there's Julianne Emery. Check it out, Tina Seth Award is here. look at the way that they are giving these indie programs a platform here at the Digital Newsfront. Instead, everything that came out of it, and I don't know if you guys have Google Alerts set for this kind of thing. We do. Everything that came out was Katie Couric, Kristen Chenoweth, Piers Morgan, and not who Piers Morgan was interviewing, but mostly Katie Couric and Tom Hanks. Ad nauseum. And the only thing that I watched that was of interest to me as an indie person, and that's because we've had him on the show, was Receiver, and there Julianne talked about it. And I loved watching David Van Eisen talk and listening to him talk, as you all know.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
I did. We did see that, and we enjoyed that. But even, you know, Tube Filter was covering it, and even they didn't talk about the indie people who were there that I could find. I think, you know, we can't depend on the big media to cover the indie players in this space. We have to depend on our indie media, our web series media, and the bloggers to create a low-level buzz. It's called grassroots community building, people. It's what we all are supposed to know how to do. To create the buzz that can possibly get and will get big enough to cause the major media outlets to take notice.
Mm-hmm.
The major media outlets didn't start out taking notice of the Guild. It took buzz building for that to happen.
And about 3 years.
And at least a first season being out there and being popular.
Mm-hmm.
And as referenced by this, not all big media will even cover her. So here's the thing. We have to start being a little bit more proactive and a little bit more fucking realistic about this kind of stuff. If you don't invite indie press, and the big boys are only going to cover star-driven vehicles and stuff that is going to bring them big money and big audience numbers first, the indies aren't going to get coverage.
They're not looking for you.
I like a buzz too, Zelda, and I haven't had one in a while.
There needs, you know, it's like I said to you earlier. There needs to be this low, rumbling growl of indie wherever we're at so that there's like a focal shift because...
Oh, my God, we have to stop right now because of something Julie said.
What?
Okay, first Seth said, Katie Couric's on Shaky Ground on TV right now. Why use her to promote the web? And Julianne, love her, said something that I have been thinking ever since I saw the first bloody tweet about it. It would be nice if they'd look to those of us who have been in the space instead of names who are just now crossing over. There was an entire panel about teaching Rashida Jones to tweet.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that? It was happening while we were watching the receiver thing.
Well, that and the fucking mom thing. Yes, I know that moms are all about being into the new media and doing things because apparently they're so freaking busy.
And it's not that I don't know they need the tutoring. God knows I've tutored enough fucking actors on Twitter. I don't know if you guys know my history, but I did a lot of that early on.
Yeah, but see, it's what panel were we talking about discussing about how to get like your audience for a web series? It wasn't one that we did. It was one that we saw.
No.
Remember that, where it was like,
and I know it's ridiculous to do a panel about it when you had people like Julianne Emery and Darren Strauss there in the building. But here's the thing. Then we're walking around the streets of Victoria because we were still working on our storage unit. And I'm watching the tweets from the New Fronts, right, all day. And I see a tweet from Xerox because, once again, big in the indie TV front, Xerox. They were there because they're middlemen and they're brands. But to see a tweet come out from them, and we did this, I mean, we made jokes about this all day, so y'all get ready for a little bit of snark here. Because we were walking around all day. I saw a tweet as we were crossing the street that said, you can put something out there.
Oh, yes.
And people will take it and run with it. And you can actually consider them like a human network. And I just looked at Amanda and said, you are kidding me.
Shut the front door with your
Shut
face.
Shut the front door. I had no idea.
Because there's a part of me that knows that about half of those people went, wait, what do you mean run? What? You mean like I have to allow
You mean they're going to run with it and steal my idea? Yeah, I know.
You mean if they do like fan videos and stuff, I have to let them do it? Like, what?
But it was like, I wanted to go, you are kidding me. You mean like a human network? You mean like something viral? Because that's where they go right off. I laughed my ass off for hours about that. You are kidding. You mean people will spread the word? How in the world are they going to do that? It was just, it was ridiculous. And I sometimes I just wonder, do we have to put clueless people on the panel? Can we not have people who are doing it?
No, because none of us are big enough to do. Like, I'm surprised Tom Hanks wasn't running that panel. I know how to tweet.
Piers Morgan was doing that panel. He didn't even have a clue who Felicia Day was. That should not have happened. Exactly. Julianne Emery cracks me up. Anyone that remedial isn't going to be watching a live stream in the first place. I know, it just made me go, shut the front door. How in the, my goodness.
Right.
Really? And you know what the other one that got me? Piers Morgan, who really went out on a limb. Who really went out on a limb.
And
content
hi?
Is key.
Whoa.
As long as you have a good story, people will come.
Oh, shit.
No shit.
What? Huh? But you know what? We don't get good stories in this sort of outlet.
But how in the world do you moderate a panel at the Digital New Front and not know anything about your panelists? Because Kristen Chenoweth, God love her, and we're big fans of hers, not a big web series person. Not a big indie TV person.
No, it's her Twitter feed that's awesome. I'm like, no, it's the fact that you sound like a fucking chipmunk and you can sing opera and you're 2 feet tall. That's why people
love
like
her.
You.
And we cannot, and Zelda's right, until we prove our value, the people with the money aren't going to come knocking. But we have got to, when something like this happens, stand up and say, for the love of God, it can be done better.
See, and Zelda has a point. However, the folks on the side have not proven our value add to the people with the money.
Right.
Until we do, they won't come knocking. And it's like, okay.
Oh, Kristen has a great Twitter feed. She absolutely does.
But the thing is that it's because all of this has happened, it's the same thing that happened a couple weeks ago where they said, last week, where it said, unless you're making this much money or unless you're doing this, you're never going to, that's it. Unless you are in this bracket, it's never going
to
happen.
And I agree that it has to be value-added, but we have to be allowed to show our value.
Right.
And Anthony DeLosa kind of hit the nail on the head. He said, it's like we were an impulse buy.
And we all know what happens with impulse buys. You either chew off gum.
I don't want to be, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I don't want to be an impulse buy because impulse buys have very little value-added.
I am not a Tic Tac.
I'm not a Tic Tac. I'm not a pack of Band-Aids. I'm not a small thing of chapstick or Febreze. And maybe Julianne's right. Maybe the advertisers in the major studios really are that remedial. Maybe they are.
Of course they are. That's why you have right now, there is a like a blogosphere war.
And Zelda's right.
Of people who are saying television is dead. Everything is going to the web. And then you have all these other people going, television is dead.
Oh, we'll talk about
dead.
That in a minute.
The
we'll
web
talk
is
about
awesome.
That in a minute. Just we'll get there. Zelda's right, and this is what I've been saying for a long time. If we're waiting for them to ask, and I will add to that, if you're waiting for them to come to you, it's going to be a long wait. We have to define the medium. We have to stand up and make sure that we have a place at the table if you have to elbow your way in, because they are not going to come to us. And they're not looking for anybody who doesn't have star power. Because they want return on their investment, and the only way that they can see that is if you have a massive Twitter feed or, you know, come on, you're a star. You're Tom Hanks or Katie Couric or Lisa Kudrow. We have got to be realistic about what we're doing. It's just like, you know, some of the people that the IWTV had on stage during their awards, I thought could have better... that we could have had people who better represented our space, like Julianne Emery, who was sitting in the audience, one of the best writers in our space, one of the best comedic minds in our space. I have no problem with Julianne Emery being a spokesperson for the space that I create my show in. I have no problem with Darren Strauss being a spokesperson for the space that I create my show in, or Zelda Hallman, or Ivan Hayden. But I do have a problem with Katie Couric being the spokesperson for the space in which I create, because she's not here. Tom Hanks is not here. Haven't been here. Don't know what they're doing.
you know what they're doing, but nobody's really watching.
And read what Zelda just put.
Yeah, I know. We have to teach the industry that we have direct connection with our audience. And that's what it is.
Mark, you're right.
And how
Kiefer
many
Sutherland
people,
clearly knows everything about this space because he won a Webby.
And how many people were upset that he did? How many people on Twitter, if you watched, bitched about the fact that he won because they were trying desperately to get him outvoted because they don't feel that he deserves it? It was a huge Twitter war if you watched it.
Oh, I know it. And my problem, the reason that I would prefer somebody like Julianne is because I want somebody who is passionate about this space. That is important to me as a creator in this space. And make no mistake, just because we're media who covers this space doesn't make us not creators within this space. We are creators. Now, when it comes to seducing the suits, I don't know if I can do that, Zelda, but what I can do is create enough buzz for my show that somebody starts to take notice.
Either that or I just piss off the suits that the people who are pissed off at the suits pay attention to me. That's really where I come from. Your suit is nice, but I have a better one. And it cost me half the price.
I don't really take the Webbies that seriously.
No.
Felicia Day got power because her audience has numbers. That's where her power came
from.
Yeah.
Somehow we've made Julianne Emery to cry. And he doesn't have desire to be on the web. He only has two new shows.
I mean, have any of you people sat down and talked to Zelda Hallman?
Seriously.
Seriously.
Now,
have you seen the Penny Dreadfuls, for the love of God? I tell you, if you watch the Penny Dreadfuls, you will never go near your garbage disposal again. Seriously.
But there's such a celebrity insurgence of trying to be new and hip and whatever it is and in the public eye again, mostly because a lot of these guys are not working. If you notice, a lot of the celebrities who
dude,
are
dude, let me tell you what.
Working.
If Snooki has a web series over somebody like Zelda Hallman or Julianne Emery or Mark Gardner, there's a problem.
No, what's his nut? Who just married the teen bride.
He's got a web series.
He's got a web series because no network would pick up his reality show. It's shitty, but guess what? He's got one, and people watch the train wreck.
And see, the interesting thing to me, and I said this to somebody earlier today, is that, no, the major media probably isn't going to cover the rollout of every little web series. But if that web series creates enough buzz by using indie media and bloggers and building up a fan base, they'll eventually have to take notice. We need to learn how to market ourselves better. And when you know who you need to not listen to when it comes to marketing your web series and learning how to market ourselves as a space? Okay, get ready for it, because I'm going to get shit for this. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Go ahead.
You know who you need not listen to? Consultants.
Oh, even though we are one.
We are consultants, but we also have shit to back it up. Grassroots community building to back it up. But here's the thing. I could swing a cat and hit 500 web series consultants or social
media
consultants,
new
media consultants, people who are going to tell me all of this. No.
You know what these people are? They're the new – they are everybody who about 5-10 years ago knew how to build a website. That's what all these
now,
people are.
Now, that's not to say that there aren't some good consultants out there who know what they're doing. But knowing how to do – social media and knowing how to PR and how to market are not necessarily all the same thing, but they do work hand in hand, and you need to learn what works for you.
But see, Carrie has it right. Puritans don't like things too edgy, and creatives want to make things that are edgy. And that's what you have right now. This is a big industry and press industry and television. They are Puritans. This is what works. This is a model that we've had for 100 years, and if you do anything outside the box, because we're going to figure out how to live forever and get this going, then it's never going to go anywhere unless we own it and smash it and redo it and make it nothing.
And Julie's right in that they need star power on the web because they don't understand the web. They only understand star power. But Seth, you just kind of nailed it right there in that there are a lot of web series creators who avoid social media like the plague beyond Facebook and Twitter, and if you read their Facebook and Twitter feeds, it's nothing but updates about their show, and you have to do more than that. You have got to make sure, and Felicia's talked about this until she's green in the face, I'm sure, but you have to make sure that your Twitter feed is relevant to the people who follow you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that the things that you say are interesting and relevant to those people and is value added for them. Otherwise, you're just wasting their time. And once they start thinking you're wasting their time, they're done with you.
Because eventually you become a commercial ad role. That's it. If all you're doing is talking about your show and you're retweeting things about other people in your show and new updates and things about your show, and that's it. No other content, no bread and butter, no depth. All you are is a rolling advertisement. And eventually people get bored with it. And they're like, unfollow. And then stuff starts to happen and you start being lucrative and you start having depth and you start having meat in what you're talking about. Even if you talk about food, don't show it, but just, you know, talk about something else. Talk about what your dog did for the day. If you make yourself engaging and then occasionally throw in little bits and pieces about your show, you're going to get more people following and sticking around with you and your project.
Mm-hmm.
Because other than that, you're just a commercial. And nobody likes commercials. Unless they're really quirky. But even then, 140 characters trying being quirky with an ad is still an ad.
Seriously. There is an answer out there, and we will only find it if we work together, and we will only be able to work together if we get the stars out of our own eyes. If we stop seeking validation, and Zelda just kind of hit it, with the studios. Partner with an advertiser, do an end-around around the money, an end-run around the money. We have to stop looking to the studios and looking to step out of this space and back into traditional Hollywood. Otherwise, nobody's ever going to take this space seriously, because why would they? We don't. I can't tell you how many creators I meet in the course of a week who are only doing this to get noticed by Hollywood. And if you're only doing it to get noticed by Hollywood, it comes off as the minor leagues to them. You know?
Yes, I do.
And speaking of, what do you guys all think about Hulu? Let me just throw that into the chat room. That Hulu is considering and probably will do. And Zelda, I love Zelda. Traditional Hollywood will eventually figure this out, and Zelda's been saying it for a long, long time, and so have we. Traditional Hollywood will figure this space out, and they will still not know your names. They're still, you know, and I say it a lot less nicely than Zelda does. They're not looking for you. Not now, not 10 days from now. And when they figure this space out, they won't be looking for you then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving on to Hulu. I agree with what everybody just said. I think
themselves
I think
in
Hulu
the face
is,
of the front
yeah.
door.
Yeah, I think Hulu very well may, this may very well spend the end.
Yes. And see, Zelda had it. They built a brand, and it was good, and they have destroyed it.
And speaking of, I just saw a tweet from Steve. He's another one, Steve Silverman, who I wouldn't mind being a passionate spokesperson. And we're back.
But see, okay, so for first you have to say, with Hulu, the thing that they want, I know we have no sound, we just got back from Skype. The thing that they want is Hulu is sort of fishing right now. They haven't said it's going to happen. They haven't said it's not going to happen. But like Armless said, it's not the Hulu executives. It's the companies that now own Hulu when they went up for sale, did all that craziness.
Yeah, but Hulu's owned by the big studios.
Yes, I know.
So there you go.
So what it basically is that Hulu will not give you on-demand viewing next day unless you can prove that you have, own, and use a satellite internet
that
cable,
if you have cable TV or satellite
some
TV.
Sort of big television hookup for other services.
And
if
they
you
say
don't,
probably what's going to whoa hello.
You turn that, and if you
they
don't,
say probably what's going to happen is that it will be like you have to prove you have cable and you can watch it. Everybody else have to wait 30 days. That's going to be what they'll do first.
Right.
But eventually it's going to be that there's some assurance that you have cable before you watch Hulu. And a lot of people will say, if I have cable, why the fuck would I watch Hulu?
Right.
And Zelda's right. We should be pissed at Time Warner and Comcast. And I see your point, Riley, that it may not happen, but I believe that it will.
It
because
will
they are already doing this. They're going to be implementing it during the Olympics this year.
Uh-huh.
They, in order to watch Olympic coverage online, you're going to have to prove that you have cable.
And it's for – what it basically is so that if you have the cable and you didn't watch it on the cable, you at least have another alternative to watch it on demand immediately the next day.
Because they are scared to death.
Yep.
They're scared to death.
This is how they're trying to fix it, so that if you get internet-based services to your home...
That's exactly right, Zelda. They are running... They're scared to death, and they're scrambling like rats.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
They're trying to figure out how to make this lucrative, because they what was it, like, just this past year, 80,000 Canadians and 1 million Americans dropped their cable. They cut their cords. That is a huge chunk of money. And I know it doesn't sound, it's like, that's an insane number. But it in the past year, that's up almost three times as it was the year before. Because it is becoming more available to do internet-based things. Your television is just another monitor screen at this point.
But it just, but what the reaction to this is probably not what Hulu expected, in that you've seen people going, fuck Hulu, I'm not buying cable for Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't do it.
But like Zelda said, this will be the new model rollout.
Oh, of course it will.
If it works for the Olympics, you can guarantee that everyone, every service will be rolling this out because it worked for that. And it'll two things will happen. People will just say, screw it, and adapt to it because they can't live without their Netflix, Hulu, or anything else.
Right.
Or everyone else will go, you know what? Screw you guys.
Now,
I'm
Mark's
out.
Playing devil's advocate. He said it sounds like more motivation for Google's experiment with fiber and ISPs to work. But Google TV is not all that great, guys.
Nope.
I prefer my boxy all day long. It probably would, so it'd be cheaper to launch our own damn satellite.
Right.
I mean, they can't. This is them doing everything they can to hold on in the face of cord cutting.
And then, see, and Zan said it. People will just, it just pushes people to illegally download.
And that, Dan's not the first person to say this.
No.
We heard it on SourceFed. Rob Gokey said it first. That was the first person mm-hmm. I saw say it. Is all this is going to do.
Is push from pirate.
Is going to push people to pirate.
Not only that, but you have to, there was a big, huge legal thing. Remember about the, I think it was called iiNet, who was offering television shows over the internet. And the big companies sued this company. And the government ruled in the favor of the internet company, saying that you, regardless of the content, you don't own the internet. If they want to stream it, they've gone through everything and every process that they can to stream it. They are not doing anything illegal. So screw your thing on that. Because it was Warner Brothers and I believe Time Warner. And a couple other companies that were having an issue saying they're stealing our content, they're pirating our content by putting it on the web to be streamed through the internet. And the government basically said, nope, your content's on the internet. What is your problem? This is simply another distribution platform.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of faith in Google because Google, you know, they've done some sketchy shit lately.
They're doing some really great stuff, but they're also doing some really sketchy shit. I'm telling you, the Judgment Day from Terminator 2 is going to happen. if China doesn't hit the red button. But in, you know, one way or another, there is going to be some sort of a revolution as far as the television and internet. The more technologically savvy that we get and the more available and ease of access and all-in-one that everything starts to become, There is going to be a revolution where this is going to come head-to-head because nobody wants to stop the fighting, stop the arguing, stop the bickering, and just try and work together. Because, you know, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to promote harmonious, you know, behavior?
Yeah, but, you know, we're still coming into a space, and I love you guys. I love you guys in the web series space. But a lot of you still don't realize the power of indie media. Because, you know, we still don't get press releases from people who do web series. You guys would still rather send them to anyone but us. We don't get to go to a lot of these events because we're not invited. And yet, I would hazard to say we are probably the only media covering your space exclusively. And that's just me being a little bitter. Am I a little bitter? Hell yes, I'm a little bitter. I'm bitter about that. But that's just me. I think the Hulu thing is going to bite them in the ass.
Yeah.
I think they're going to lose subscribers all over the place.
Well, and like I said, right now it's just sort of, it's kind of like when they tried to sell themselves. They're just sort of throwing it out there to see what happens. And I don't know. If they don't pay enough attention to the people that are just like, screw it, then I think they'll go ahead and go with it. Again, I really feel that it's going to harbor on NBC and their internet-based what you get with coverage of the Olympics this summer. And however that goes and however well that works, though it'll probably be shitty quality internet like we got with the Super Bowl, if that model works, Hulu will follow. Netflix will follow. Everybody will follow because they found something that works that nobody has thought of doing. And yet at the same time, I say, we have VPNs to get across countries. So what do you think somebody else is going to come up with to get across over whether you can detect or not if I have a cable bill or home internet service? Because if I have fiber optic, technically I may have TV. You don't know if I've turned it on or not, but I still have fiber optic going to my house, don't I?
But then again, and Rune, that's sweet. that you guys would come to us as our first choice for presser news and, hey, look at this. But you know what? I still think a lot of shows would rather send their information about their web series to slightly larger outlets.
Uh-huh. For a hope of more eyes.
Of more eyes, but you know what? They're not going to watch your show.
But it becomes, again, it becomes an impulse ad that gets, oh, like your ad is underneath.
Like
the
Zelda was saying, we as creators have a direct connection to our audiences. So if you want to have that direct connection to your audience as a web series creator, don't you want people to review it who actually watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want people who are only going to watch one or two episodes and then forget about you?
See, and that's Seth has it right. The web space is very disorganized. Because partially I feel that is because we're all very creative. And creative types together in one room without logic types kind of go off the rails. And it's crazy and it's fantastic and wonderful. But then when it comes to organization, it's like, what? It's organized chaos. And I think that's also because everyone's trying to hold on to their own ideas. But he's right. And if you say that something isn't good, especially if it's good by popular opinion, you get frozen out in a lot of places. It's true. Mm-hmm. On the way, if you just go on some blog or some forum and say, no, here's my honest opinion, it's like nobody will ever talk to you again.
Are you kidding? The first year that we did this show, nobody wanted our honest opinions. They just wanted us to be nice.
Be nice! And they were like, stop being nice!
And now they're like, stop being nice.
But see, Julian Emery has said something that is freaking me out, because I'll have to look that up. But, speaking of monopolies, she heard that Warner Brothers is positioning themselves to buy NBC Universal. Now, if that happens, you can sure as shit know that Hulu is going to go the route of, we have to confirm.
You can also be sure that the government might get involved then.
Maybe, maybe not. It depends upon how many shareholders and all that you control. If you just own it and you give them free reign and control to do what they do, that's not a monopoly. If you own it, run it, control it, that's completely different. Look at Microsoft.
Now, to moving on to another topic.
Fuck being nice. Yes. That's why I'm the one that gets in trouble. Nor do I sound eloquent with my language.
Moving on to another topic. Actually, do you have any more news to share or birthdays or anything before I get started?
Barbie Caruso's birthday was yesterday.
Okay, anybody else?
I can look really quickly. Well, hold on. See, you're abandoning me. I see how it is. That's where we're at here. Just going, people abandoning other people to go to the bathroom. Because that's fun. Yay. Oh, God. I don't know. I have to pull them up. It's going to take a while. She'll probably be back before I ever even get them up because the internet's slow. Anyway, okay, so yesterday was Barbie Caruso's birthday. Say a belated happy birthday to her. Yay. We don't have any other birthdays that I'm aware of in May. That may be because you're not following me or I'm not following you on Facebook, and that's okay. We can make it work. There are plenty of other people in the room that may know of May birthdays. In June 1st, Tom Conkle's birthday happened, as well as June 21st is Taryn O'Neill's. But that's a month away, and we will revisit that later. Aside from those, I don't know. If you have a birthday at May, I don't know, call into the show. That should be what that is. Yes. What are you doing?
Who, me?
Yeah!
I was talking to Taryn.
Sorry. You just left the show. I can't do this by myself.
I'm sorry, guys.
We have no birthdays in May, as far as I know, on Facebook. But
what are they
June,
talking about, Tube Filter now?
June 1st, Tom Conkle.
We reviewed your show, Julian. We'd be happy to do it again.
Yeah.
Sure,
it's Carrie Bowman's friend Cash's birthday. Yay! And Carrie, you should totally go out with Zelda and Riley, because that's fun.
Okay, now, the next thing I wanted to talk about, and I trust me that I'm saying this as a show.
Yes.
creators who are getting ready to launch their own Indiegogo campaign. And the reason that you guys haven't seen our Indiegogo campaign until now, or soon, is because we are... Don't I know we all need ink? Indie Inner Tube needs some damn ink.
Wait,
we don't get any press. I'm talking to Zelda. I'm sorry.
Well, I thought you meant like tattoo ink, because I'm there. Let's go.
I say this as somebody who is putting a lot of pressure on themselves to create a good Indiegogo campaign. But lately, there has been 1,000 Indiegogo campaigns launched for web series. And I've got a few issues. Some of these Indiegogo campaigns literally look like they were thrown together in 5 minutes with no thought to how they would come off.
Oh.
No thought going into you are asking people for their hard-earned cash.
Right, and that's, I mean...
Well, and this is what you have to... You are asking people for their money.
For their money. In an economy that's in kind of a slump, no matter where you're at. And if you're in Greece, you don't even have one. Maybe even Quebec. But here's the other
thing. Do you guys have any examples of Indiegogo campaigns that worked and Indiegogo campaigns that didn't? Indiegogo campaigns you thought were well put together. Clearly, Divanity's worked. Clearly, Fumbling Through the Pieces worked.
Mm-hmm. But is that their fan base? Is it their incentives? Like, that's what our research is about before we launch our own. We want to make sure that we present something that's actually worth putting money into.
Because, you know... When I look at an Indiegogo or Kickstarter campaign, I look at a lot of things. I look at the video. Did you produce a pilot? Is your pilot your video to produce more?
Right. Well, it's like Zan just said. A lot of the campaigns tend to be like college term papers, done at the last minute,
right,
with the last breath of time.
Right. And Julianne Embry's saying, you know, she just lectured someone on not putting up a page and expecting it to earn money. A crowdfunding campaign takes work.
Yep.
It has, you need both a fan base and incentives. You need something to show for what you're asking people to give you. Whether it be a pilot, whether it be a really, really good video, you have to have information about what you're doing. You have to have information about a background and why you think they should give you the money. You have to give them a reason to give you the money. You can't just say, this is what I want to do. Please give me money. And then on top of that, I think you need to be realistic about your funding. I don't really play into some amounts are too big and some amounts are too small. I think that if you are going to put an amount out there, it should be what you need, but you should be able to tell people exactly what you're going to spend it on.
Yeah, you need a breakdown. It's just like what the FCC has just now decided to do with political ad campaigns for the big 20 networks on television. They ruled that if you are going to spend money on ad campaigns for politics, you have to give us the rollout of what you're giving and where you're giving and how much you're giving.
And Seth, I think that is an issue. If you are asking for funding through Indiegogo and Kickstarter, don't turn around and ask for a subscription amount.
Oh my God.
Because you won't get it, and all you're going to do is piss me off. Now, I don't know if anybody who's done that, but, I mean, I think it's an issue. And I look at funding campaigns. Like, I talked about a fantasy one a while back that was really good because they had links to all the work that they were going to do. They had produced a really slick trailer, and they told you exactly why they needed their money. Husbands had their big money lineup. Zelda's right. Their big money was lined up before their request went live. So you have those big donations right off the bat. It builds, like Zelda said, critical mass and press. But you can't – are there really indie creators out there who are trying to make a web series that think that they're Freddie fucking Wong and they can just, you know, pop in here and say, this is what I need, and people are going to give it to them with nothing? Crickets. I think people need to be much – more proactive on their Indiegogo campaigns, and I think they need to think about it a lot more.
But see, Zelda has a point. You have to have everything ready to go, including your press. Like, before you do an Indiegogo campaign, you need to have every duck ever thought of and did some in a row. Like, you have to have
if
every
I put up an amount for our
contingent.
Indiegogo campaign, you can rest assured we know exactly to the penny what it's going for.
And we'll roll that out accordingly in all of the who's the what's the things about. And that's another thing. If your Indiegogo campaign is a freaking novel, I'm not going to read it. I'm not. I want you to show me, and I want you to bring it down to at least two paragraphs. And that's not just me. That's the generality of most people. Say they say the same thing in a job interview. If you can't put everything that you've ever done in your lifetime into a resume that is concise and immediate and right there, they don't go past it.
And you need to take, like, your Indiegogo video can be funny, or your Kickstarter video can be funny. It can be cute. It can be cheeky. It needs to be relevant to your project. It needs to not be condescending or trite. Don't insult your audience. You need to be upfront about everything. Now, I don't think crowdfunding is a sustainable
model. Well, like Zelda said, the people who are really making the money are Indiegogo
and Kickstarter. And I don't think it's a sustainable model.
No, I think eventually it's going to burn out. Everybody
it's going to burn out. People are going to run out of money. People are going to be like, oh, no, hell no.
But it's going to become the thing that everybody's done, everybody does, and everybody has. And eventually there's going to have to be something else. First, it was PayPal subscriptions, and we all know how well that goes over. And right now, it's Indiegogo and Kickstarter until somebody comes up with something better or different. But it'll happen eventually. Outside of that, all I can do is say, here's the website that says how much money we need and what it's for.
But for now, crowdfunding is a way to kick something off.
Right.
Funny, Julia and Ann and I just said the same thing. And it's a great way to kick something off. But you need to do it right.
And like Carrie said,
it is not just build it and they will come.
No, you need to angle people with money who want to support what you're doing.
Just do a search for web series on either of those platforms and see what you find. There are a lot of people out there who did not put enough thought into what they were doing.
Right, and see, that's another thing for us with what we're trying to do. It's not necessarily about giving you interesting incentives like, oh, you're going to get an indie inner tube t-shirt because we don't have those, and that's a coveted thing until we actually have them, which we probably will in Florida, and then it becomes not a one-of-a-kind thing. It's more lucrative if we say, hey, we have a travel sponsor that's willing not only to help us out as we travel across the country, but they'll give you guys, you know, if you pledge this much money, they'll give you $1,000 worth of travel and expenses to be spayed. You know, here's a hotel that decided to help us sponsor with stays if we need them, and they're going to give somebody a whole week's worth of stay at a hotel. Like, that's our kind of venue of incentive.
You donate a certain amount of money, and you'll get to pick our comedy and drama for the week every week for a month.
Vista Print.
And I know a lot of you have mentioned the team. I've seen it in the chat room.
Yeah.
And I'm so torn when it comes to talking about the team. I have been looking for a reason to support this project. And I know a lot of you say, stop it. Don't look for a reason to be nice. Don't look for a reason to support something. Be honest. I hear it all the time. God knows you all told me I hung in with Venice a whole lot longer than I should have, and I'm still there. But... The more I look at the team's Indiegogo campaign,
mm-hmm.
the more I think it was not thought out properly or enough or taken seriously enough, or that at some point, maybe even still, the people involved in the business side and production side of the team have absolutely no idea or concept what is going on in the web series space.
Zelda has done everything.
Haven't looked at other Indiegogo or Kickstarter campaigns. Haven't looked at the budgets that a lot of these shows are being done under. Haven't looked at the types of videos. Like, I don't...
Where are you going? Where are you going? What are you doing? Come on.
I think they could have thought it out better.
You think?
It does appear as if they don't know what they're doing. And whether that is or is not the case, I don't know because I can't tell.
You know what? I'll put it simply, because I don't mind being the asshole. I watched their video. I saw their campaign. I read their stuff. I looked at their incentives. I said, no way is this getting made. It's not going to happen. And I wrote it off. I just went, you know what? I don't see it.
But see, I've heard behind the scenes that the script, the pilot script is actually very, very good. And I would think if you have a pilot script that is that good that you can sign those actors, then you owe it to them to be realistic in your goals and serious in the people that you hire on your crew and very serious in the videos and things that you do and the PR that you do in order to make that happen. But maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me. There's more PR that you should be doing for an Indiegogo campaign than Twitter.
You have to
Facebook.
Be, you have it has to become a child. It has to become a small
Julianne
child.
Said it right. It's a beast, and it needs to be fed literally every day.
3 times a day. 4 times, 10 times a day. You have to be talking about it until you're sick about it and want to punch somebody in the face over it for no reason because they say a word that reminds you of it.
Well, and Seth, that's why I said...
it's an action drama.
that amount of money right off the bat is not... the amount of money isn't what bugs me. It's what are we going to get for that $68,000? Can you lay it out for me? Can you tell me? Can you tell me how many episodes and how long they're going to be? Can you give me links to the stuff that you say your crew has done so that I can see the kind of work they've done before? Certainly, Mark Gardner asking for $60,000 is not out of the realm of possibility.
No.
I've seen Sell. I've seen the kinds of things that he can do as a producer and a director and a creator.
And
so, yeah.
And not only that, but if his first season was deferred in any way, shape, or form, regardless of the money that he spent on it, there's still more to be added to it. That's another thing that we discussed on Sunday. If you say, I made my web series for $3,000, but I also deferred $30,000, you still made a web series for $33,000 when it comes down to it. It is a very awesome thing to say, we made this for $1,000. Technically, we would have made it for about $50,000. But we deferred all of that. We had people volunteer. We had this, that, and the other. And
because, again, you have to think, you are asking people to part with their hard-earned money.
Right.
You have to give them a reason to do that. Really, what I want to see is some kind of a trailer. That's what I want to see.
And that's, see, and Zelda says we have to stop talking like that. If you can go to somebody who wants to give you money, say a sponsor or anybody at New Media, at the upfront, if you had told them, I made a web series for $5,000, and they look at your web series and go, wow, you did a lot with that. Here's $5,000.
Exactly.
You know, you need to say, we did it for $5,000, but after deferred cost, we did it
for
$30.
You have to tell them what the real cost is, but you have to know what the real cost is.
Right, and if you don't know, that's a completely different ballgame altogether.
You can't say... It's just like, okay, we don't even have to use the team for example, but if you're going to go out there and you're going to say, I need $75,000, please give it to me. I'm going to make a web series.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to go, okay, what have you done anything before? Can you tell us anything about that web series? Can you tell us who's going to be involved, who's going to be in it, who's going to be on the crew? What's the $70,000 going to go to? How many episodes? How long are they going to be?
Give me the breakdown.
God knows if you've done a breakdown enough to know you need $75,000 because you're not going to defer anything for the first season.
Right.
You have to know what that is.
Because how much of your budget...
Because we haven't budgeted ours out, so I couldn't even tell you. Is it going to be $5,000? Maybe. I don't know. We haven't budgeted it.
But that's the thing. Say you're asking for $60,000. How much of that, if you have, say, anybody who has a day rate... Or anything, or is willing to work for their deferred cost based on the unions that they're a part of, how much of your end result budget that you're looking at goes to those people? If 3/4 of your budget is going to make sure that you pay everybody, you need to tell people that. You need to give breakdowns. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to give breakdowns because it's like they're throwing their financial. I'm not asking to see your books. I'm asking to see where you want my money for your show to go.
I think it is important to have an Indiegogo campaign that looks professional, put together, serious, passionate, and that you really believe in the product that you're doing.
And you know what? Another thing that people don't think to look at, everybody's very quick to go to Indiegogo and Kickstarter because even though it is a beast, it is easier than doing other things. It's easier than researching how many grants you could ask and apply for and possibly get them based on what you're doing, based on where you're shooting, based on who you're using, based on what you're using, and based on what your story content is, or even based on who you are as a person. I know that I can get money for the government because I am adopted. Did you know that? I can apply for a grant today.
Well, Rob just put it. He said, I love seeing a campaign raise $100,000 and then they drop $30,000 on a red and ask everybody else to work for free.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And, you know, and I'm going to say it. If you do get your Indiegogo campaign or you are asking for this much amount of money or you get money given to you and everybody has their assigned jobs, they're going to get paid for those jobs, okay? Even if you do two jobs, you still need to get paid for those two jobs. It may be slightly deferred or whatever, but you still, please make sure that you keep that in mind. Pay people for what they do. Just because you went out and bought a $50,000 red camera doesn't mean that you as the writer can now ask your buddy who's another, like a cameraman, to suddenly not get paid for being the cameraman, even though they're also a co-writer.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing two jobs. And more than you're doing, they need to be paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, it's either that or you're.
Well, and I think that if you're going to have an Indiegogo campaign, again, like Julianne said, it is a beast. It needs to be fed. You need to talk about it all the time. One of the things that I thought Emma Caulfield did really good with Ripper is that they were constantly updating that Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And constantly doing that, you have to have good incentives.
You have to have good incentives, and you have to be willing to. You have to be willing to take the time out to feed the beast. And not only that, but feed the people who have already fed the beast. If you have people who have put money into your show already and you follow them on Twitter or do anything else with them, you need to make sure that you continue to feed them as well as your beast. That is your campaign. But again, there are so many other ways to get money. Did you know that there are people that meet who are like millionaires that have nothing better to do with their money and will take meetings with you? If you can just convince them, be like $3,000 to a millionaire is nothing.
Because I think we are nearing the end of where crowdsourced funding can go. A few more years and it's not going to be the way to do it anymore. It's only going to be the way to get something started, not to fund your project. And I think we need to be smart about it.
And see, Julian.
And I think Drifter's campaign is really good.
And Julian Emery says because it's hard with the updates because they email the contributors, and that can be a bone of contention as well, because everybody knows that when you email spam people about things that you're doing, it becomes annoying.
But you know what? What a lot of creators don't understand is you can't Twitter spam them either.
Nope. You can work it. You can work your Twitter and work your Facebook, but you also, again, have to be interesting. And you can't just be a long-winded rolling
ad. Your Twitter feed for your show can't just be about your Indiegogo campaign. And if people didn't know why we needed to run an Indiegogo campaign or at least get some kind of donations and crowdsource funding going, this should tell them.
And use Dropbox to distribute your digital perks. And that
Steve Silverman would like you to send him a list of millionaires.
A list of millionaires. The last ones that I talked to were Little Blue Hairs in Texas. But there were plenty of them there enough that were willing to consider helping us buy a building to create our own community theater. So
but there
not,
are, you know, they are out there.
They
in your
are
community.
There. And that's the thing is you don't realize that just a
maybe not millionaires, but there are people in your community, you know, patrons of the arts who might be willing to help.
There are investors, I should say, and a simple essay and or letter campaign can do wonders for these people because that's where they're at.
Go and talk to local people. I don't think that's necessarily out of the realm of possibility.
No. You know what? Go to a museum showing or opening or a new art exhibit or something. There is bound to be plenty of people there who are willing to at least discuss with you a creative outlet of interesting. The only problem is some of those types want to get involved so much they want to run your show. So it can be a catch-22. But there are plenty of people out there who just don't know what to do with what they have, and there are also other incentives that can be provided to you based on the things. I know that you can file for grants in Florida based on the locations that you use for the fact that you're showing Florida off.
We're not going there. We're not. This is out of where we're supposed to go today, which is not. We're not getting into this. We're not doing this.
I'm just saying.
We will have a different show where we will talk about this sometime later. We're going to do a few reviews now.
We are?
Yeah.
But this was so fun.
I know, and it's still fun. It's not over. We still have a whole another hour to go. You just chill.
And it's a tack right off.
Yes. Let's talk. There are a couple of shows because we're still trying to get caught up after this last week
what?
On our shows. What? Oh. I want to talk about some web series. It's kind of what we're here for.
But this was fun. No?
Squaresville. We got completely caught up on Squaresville today. What did you think? I think it is charming.
They're cute.
It is so charming. Can I just say some of my favorite lines from the first four episodes?
Go ahead.
Actually, the first episode. They were doing civil disobedience by doing midnight gardening.
Yes.
Beautification by disobedience. I love that line.
Don't you wish more people did that? Let's do something
beautification
crazy.
By disobedience. Let's go down there real quiet. And we're going to plant a tree. We're going to go prune that back. It's going to look awesome.
We're going to build a community garden. Someone's just going to wake up in a parking lot. It's going to be a garden.
We're going to wake up in that parking lot. It's going to be a garden. It's going to be beautiful. Yay. I think it's beautiful.
Because the Walmart's open 24/7.
That and then later when their friend wants to go home, she's like, I have to go home and wash the rebellion off me.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're doing that kind of stuff, you just want to go home and wash it all off and then be a geek again.
Yes.
I'm going to go home, wash the rebellion off of me. I'm going to play, you know, watch My Little Pony and settle into bed with some popcorn, and that's what I'm going to do.
Friendship is magic.
Friendship is magic.
Brohoof. Yeah, yeah. So, I don't even watch. I'm an original My Little Pony watcher. Damn it.
That and the fact that I loved it when she said, it is past my bedtime and roller derby is on public access.
Roller derby is on. Hey, that happens in Austin.
Because that's the kind of thing I would say. It is too late for me. I am going home. The voice is on. You know, that would be...
Right, let's go home. But we would... No. I want to go home. But what happened? No.
Let's go have a beer. No.
I'm tired of walking around downtown with the beautiful city when the sun is finally out. I want to go and hobble in the house.
I just love that whole thing. It's like, you know, it's past my bedtime and roller derby's on public access. That is the kind of thing I would say. It's like, can't we just go home and have popcorn and, you know, watch cartoons? I think it's a charming show. I think they do show very progressive marketing, as Seth just said. They're cute. I love their little vignettes, their little commentaries there at the end. Mm-hmm. I love that they do behind-the-scenes stuff. I think it is an extremely charming show. I love what Lizzie Bennett Diaries is doing, their whole marketing campaign and the way they're doing that, but I have more of a connection to Squaresville as a show.
Julie and Emily wants to be a roller derby girl. Start Excuse slow. Me? Start slow, Julie.
Wait, I'm picturing it?
Don't start in Austin. Work
Can
your
we
way
film it?
Over. Because that's some scary
Can
shit.
Somebody film no, that? No. Can somebody film that?
Roller derby.
Anybody?
Tits.
Anybody?
Extensive training in your driveway.
Can you film her doing that?
Sure.
Anyone? Anyway, I'm completely in love with Squaresville. It hits the same kind of note in me that I hate being single does. And I have to say, if you have not seen the new episode of Rob's Room, you need to go watch it right now. Just step away from the chat room and go watch Rob's Room where he talks about his soda stream. Have you seen? I mean, you watched it.
Mm-hmm.
They're in love with their soda stream.
Yes.
And why do I think that's funny? Because we want one.
We want one so bad. We should put that in our sacrifice fund. What did you sacrifice? We sacrificed eating lunch today.
Because we must have a soda stream.
A soda stream.
Yeah.
Seltzer water is like air and water. And it's the essentials of life. It's, you know,
where do you go from there?
Well, Seth, what is the is Destiny becoming a hipster? Maybe. What is the definition of a hipster? I have a bedtime. If you want to know, if you want to know what I'm actually like as a person, just watch New Girl.
Yes, she's Jess.
Because I'm apparently Jess.
You are so Jess.
Yeah. Job Hunters had a new episode out.
Yes.
I am totally in love with this show. That, and I want to say something about it. It is a great concept. Yes, it touches on Battle Royale. Yes, it touches on Game of Thrones. No.
No, Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
Battle
Royale. I said Battle Royale. Are you not even listening to me at all?
Why would you say Hunger Games if you already said Battle Royale?
Because I said it touches on both of those, okay. Job Hunters does. But it's very, very clever, and I will tell you this. The digital effects on this show are absolutely seamless. Would you not agree?
Yes. They are quite awesome.
The phone and the controllers especially.
The controller's great because every time he taps the little glass piece, it ripples out from his fingers.
I know.
White. Yeah, it's very cool. And I find it funny because I looked up like concept phones, and that is one of the new like concept iPhones is to have a clear one.
It's very cool.
Yeah, like the HUD that Google Glasses are trying to do.
It is very, very neat.
See, you've done confused from Battle
not
Royale.
Not Game of Thrones. It kind of touches on Battle Royale and Game of, and Battle Royale and Hunger Games.
I don't know.
You have to go to an academy and you have to literally fight to show them that you are a good candidate for having a job, and only 20% of the people will make it out alive.
And kind of like Game of Thrones, because it is sort of a fight for that one top position. So go with it. No high fantasy there, though.
No, but it is a pretty cool show. I really like it. I really, really like it.
Right.
People are talking about After Ellen ignoring web series. I think that's a shame.
It happens. I'm not going to say it doesn't. They you know what? After Ellen kind of has the impulse buy thing down. As far as like coverage goes.
Job Hunters was one that ran a really, really good Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah.
They asked for $10,000. They raised $14,125 for their web series. And their web series is now being produced, and they're doing an episode every Friday.
I love it. I love it. I love our chat room. I just do. It is so fantastic. If you have not experienced the chat room or don't know what we're talking about, just check our Twitter at indie_intertube and join in the fun. Because it's awesome.
But I think if you haven't seen Job Hunters, I'll give you, take a look at what their Kickstarter campaign was like. I'm going to put that up in the chat room. There is their Kickstarter. I'm trying to find their website for you guys. Bum, bum, bum.
See, it's funny because Rune is telling me that we need to be watching Arcana, and every time I see that, I'm like, Arcana as in like the major Arcana? Wait, what? Did I see that one or not?
Job Hunters or?
No, Arcana.
Anyway, I love Job Hunters. I think all of you guys will too. Their digital effects are awesome. Their third episode is up on YouTube. Please go and check it out. And the last show that I want to talk about right now is Out with Dad. What a good episode their recent one was. And they have a new one coming. But their recent episode was so good. There was almost no dialogue, no spoken dialogue.
No.
In that episode.
I think the best line out of it was, I just came out to myself. Because, I mean, there really is that sort of moment where that happens. You just sort of go, I just came out to myself.
Well, she didn't mean just now. She just meant, I only just recently came out to myself.
Right.
Because she met the girl at Peace Like Meeting.
No, but she meant to herself. The line is very poignant for saying that she just came out to herself. She has finally said
she
it.
She wasn't comfortable
it,
with changing her status.
Herself of therefore being.
I love that the whole conversation happened over Facebook chat.
Yes.
I think it was very cute. This is an episode of Out with Dad that left you with a smile on your face. Would you not agree?
Yes.
It was really, really good. We had Jason Lieber on the show last week. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that interview, you definitely want to go and download last week's Indie Inner Tube podcast because it really was a good interview with Jason. And then we have the people from Timekeeper on, which, hey.
What?
And we talked about their season finale. Hey, you know what time it is?
What?
It's open phones time.
Okay. My computer just froze, which means Skype's probably going to die soon.
No, it's not. Everything is fine. That's just your laptop. It is open. Whoops. Whoa.
What are you doing?
My computer's doing weird things. Anyway, it is open phones time. Feel free to call in. Yes, Kylie Sparks, I'm so glad that you are listening. We love your show.
Yes.
Squaresville is absolutely charming, and we would love to have you guys on the show. We'll have to DM back and forth about it. Or you guys can email us at static@indieinnertube.tv because we would love to have you on.
Or you can follow us on Twitter @indie_innertube or on Facebook at facebook.com/indieinnertube or /indieinnertube, whichever slash, I don't know.
Okay.
Indieinnertube, do a search.
The phone lines are now open.
What?
If you want to talk about what happened with the indie people at the Digital New Fronts, especially if you were there, please consider this an open invitation to call in.
Judy.
If you are running, Julie, if you are running an Indiegogo campaign and you want to talk about that, please feel free to call in. If you are a member of the crew of the team and you would like to call in and talk about your Indiegogo campaign, please do.
Or a crew of any Indiegogo campaign.
I said, if you're running any Indiegogo or Kickstarter campaign, we'd love to hear about what worked for you and what didn't. Oh, cool. I didn't know Brian wrote a rep to Squaresville.
Of course he does. Have you seen how much it's out?
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. But it's really, really a good show. We're full of gumption today. Did you know that?
Are we?
We are. We're full of gumption.
Is that what it is?
We're not talking about what they wanted us to talk about the last time, which is which web series are really bad.
You know, no, wait, okay. We could, here's the thing, we could totally do a whole series of shows. We could do a Sunday show about them every week. We could talk about them every Wednesday. But
some of them just make my brain hurt.
There is that. But I certainly don't want to start some sort of, I wouldn't say a hate campaign, but sort of a downer campaign on anybody who's actually trying to create in this space. Your quality isn't there yet, and that's okay. Keep working on it, and eventually you'll be on our show.
But at least be working on it.
But work on it.
My problem with those web series are the ones whose quality is not great, but they think they're the shit.
Yeah. Kind of like a lot of bands.
Well, no, it's just like the ones that think they are the first web series who's ever web series to web series.
And does a panel with a web series about web series and Indiegogo's about web series with web series.
And it's like, really? Come on now.
So, yes.
I think one of the first things that a web series creator should do before they create their show is go out and see what's out there.
Yes, and not just what's out there by popular demand, because Smosh and the Annoying Orange don't really count. Unless you're doing a show like them, then by all means, use them for an example, but do something different and better. If you're going to do a drama, find and search and look at all of the shows that are available to you. If you need a kick-starting off place, I don't know, try Celebrate the Web and look at what a collaboration of web series people do and then look at all of those individual creators.
And, you know, this is the other thing. We have a very open chat room. This community, this web series community, is very open to helping each other and sharing ideas and information. So there's really no excuse for making a web series and not having that input. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's really no excuse for not being aware of what's out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's really no excuse for not knowing.
And you're not the first to ever first a first.
No.
I'm just saying. Like, it's all been done at this point.
It's all, yeah. Web series, they happen. There's lots.
And what we're saying, there's 1,000 great web series out there right now. And there's another 3,000 bad ones out there at the same time. There are. It just is what it is. There's a web series. There's about 15 web series being made right now as we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you 2 of them are going to be really good.
Well, I have the same problem with video bloggers.
Yeah.
Everybody has a video blog. Not all of them are good.
No, and you want one.
Yeah.
You want one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to try to be Grace Helbig. I don't have that kind of comic timing.
That's just about being quirky.
I can't be source-fed because I don't have that much money.
What about...
And I'm not Lee Newton.
What about the flog?
Lee Newton is kick-ass.
Lee Newton is the shit.
I'm also not Felicia Day, and I'm very well aware of that.
Right.
I'm not going to go in and act like I'm the first person who ever thought of doing a video blog.
But you're a kick-ass redhead. You can make it happen.
I'm me.
Yeah.
I have things to say about things.
We'll have to give you a different background, though. Give you a little space. We'll just make a cardboard box thing. Like that one guy's office that he turned his dresser into a gaming machine. It was awesome.
And you all know that we have a web series in the offing here. We are going to be doing a cross-country documentary-style web series.
Yeah.
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 And it's going to be fun.
Woo! My question is, because some people don't actually like vlogs. I'm curious as to why. I'm also kind of curious if Felicia thought hers through.
I like hers.
No, I love hers. I'm talking about the title.
Okay, let's go to the phones. On that note, area code 818, you're on Indie Inner Tube. Who's this?
Julianne Emery.
Yay! We get so excited about you being on the show. It's really...
So I was calling because I was at the New Fronts, and I think this is a really important thing for us to talk about, even though you guys have already talked about it.
Well, no, I think it is, and I was kind of hoping that you would call in, because you know how we found out you were at the New Fronts? From a tweet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was really, I was excited to be there as an indie content creator, because there were very few of us there. I think there were 5 of us there. And I was grateful because the live stream gets seen by a lot of people. And, you know, I was like, look, as long as I can give a shout out to Drifter, that's, you know, and then we get help, then great. But I mean, everybody's talking about all these deals getting made, and I certainly met a lot of people, not anyone who could necessarily help me right then. I understand the purpose, and I've been to the upfronts for, like, ABC, but it's just not quite working on a content level yet. You know, it was a lot like, it felt a lot like educating advertisers as to what a web series was or what web content is.
The tweet certainly felt like that, for sure.
Yes. Yes, for sure. And I know there's a lot of sort of bitter commenting and posting going on about the New Front. I want to see us move into this space. Look, all the studios have digital arms now. Now, not every web series is going to fit in to what they're doing, but I want to be able to pay my people. I want you guys to make a little money. I want us to be able to take web series to the next level. I want it to look like an amazing television show. I don't want to keep asking my friends to work for free. So
right.
Wherever those revenue streams are, those revenue streams are either going to come from an angel, like a millionaire, or they're going to come from a brand, or they're going to come from a studio. So I want to see us participate in that process as indie creators.
Absolutely.
You know, so I don't want to shun it, and I don't want to just be bitter about it. I want to participate if we can, and I'd like to try to find a way to turn them more our direction.
Yeah.
And
that's why I think it's so important to have these conversations.
Yes. Yes. I mean, they worked really hard to put it together, and Darren Strauss had a lot to do with putting it together, and she worked really hard, and I know she worked really hard. You know, there were a lot of trailers for independently produced web series up during the live stream, and I know that she worked really hard to get those included, and I appreciate the lengths that were taken to do that. I just would like to see it go further. And the truth is, they're not talking to us. I mean, they're not, the upfront is not designed to talk to us. It's designed to talk to advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious from an advertiser's point of view how effective it was. I mean, did they go away going, oh, my God, we should totally have a web series? I mean, was anybody talking to them? I mean, we're talking to them about how to tweet, but was anybody talking to them about why, say, a car company should have a web series? You know why? Because I go to a car website every 6 years or 10 years, or every time I'm looking for maybe a new car.
Right.
A scripted web series would give people a reason to go there on a weekly basis or on some sort of regular basis. But right now, the only video up on car websites is car porn. I mean, it's like, you know, 2 minute shots of the dashboard.
Either that, or that you do have. I think Ford has one, Audi has one, BMW has one. They have web series, but they have nothing to do with scripted content.
Well, see, and I think the only person I saw mention that specific thing during the live stream was David Van Eisen from Receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I thought he was brilliant. I really liked what he had to say, and his presentation was amazing. The video they showed with it, amazing.
Yeah, I think his presentation was really good. I know that Paul Katonis and Digitas worked really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
To include indies where nobody else seemed to be doing that, even if it
nobody
was...
Nobody else even wanted to. I mean,
right.
And I have to give Digitas props for that.
Absolutely, we have to give Digitas props for that.
Yeah.
I think my issues with it, and this is just speaking up, because I believe if we don't speak up and have these conversations, everybody's going to think this is exactly how it should have gone and how it will continue to go every year. So I think we have to love the people who worked really hard, and then we have to talk about moving forward from here.
Yeah, I completely agree.
That was
I completely agree.
I was
but
so glad
I would like to
that,
see us participate in the process and change it than to shun it. And
absolutely.
And say,
there talk of shunning going on?
Well, there's some bitterness, like, not shunning, but bitterness, like, well, that's not for us. I mean, it's being brushed off right now. And I think we have to drive our way into this process like we've driven our way onto the web. I mean, we're going to have to knock down some walls to do it. We've all done that already. So we need to, as a community, we need to knock down these walls.
We have to elbow for our space at the table. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not going to give it to us.
Right, and we need to tell them what's missing from television that people are turning to the web for programming. We need to tell them why the web. We need to tell them what's more valuable about niche marketing than mass marketing. We need to tell them why. So
and
Felicia
was great when she was talking about social media and having a connection to your fans and all of that stuff. But like
absolutely.
You said in the chat room earlier, there was no excuse for Piers Morgan not doing his research.
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous. Even if he doesn't know who she is, it would have taken him 5 minutes on Google. It would have taken him 30 seconds on Google to figure it out. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. Yeah. That was ridiculous.
I have to laugh, though, about you bringing up the Rashida Jones thing, because I was, like, watching David Van Eisen talking on the main screen. And then in the bottom corner, I'm watching the tweet things, and everybody is all about her doing her. I'm like, are they serious?
Oh,
or
yeah,
is,
and they spent, what, it was like a 10 to 15-minute segment in the programming, and I'm sitting there going, is this really what we're doing right now? I couldn't believe that that was what we were doing right now. I couldn't believe that they were taking that slot that could have gone to a great web series. I mean, that could have gone to another show. They could have gone to The Cell or to Pretty or to any number of amazing
Downsized. Darren was there.
Downsized, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't believe that that's what we were watching. I mean, I'm a fan of Rashida Jones. I like her, but I don't need to watch her learn to tweet. That can happen in her trailer or on her sofa. I mean, I couldn't believe that we were. I just couldn't believe that that's what I went. You know, I went to the lounge and got something to drink. I couldn't believe that's what was going on.
Yeah, and there were a couple of times during those live feeds that I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching this. Is this really what I'm watching?
Well,
nothing
it, I
against
mean,
the mommy bloggers, but there was a section where they were talking about social video games and when they have time to do them.
While they're waiting for their children. Like, this is why we nearly get run down by Hummers.
I'm like, really?
Well, I understand including a segment like that because everyone on the web right now is looking for a way to reach out to women. And Then We Got Help is a show that speaks to women, and we were continually looking for where are the grown-up female audiences on stage. On the web, sorry. Where the grown-up female audience is on the web. And it's just, it wasn't an effective, I understand including that. I understand looking for them. None of the moms that I know who are online are spending their online time playing those kinds of games. I mean, I wish they would have skewed that segment toward what that audience could be watching online, or what that audience could be doing online, or where that audience should be driven to online. Yeah, I don't. Do you know anybody who's playing those games? I don't understand the tie-in.
No,
I didn't understand why.
That whole conversation with the three of them and the Pete from Mashable, I'm like, this is so out of the realm to anybody who's probably watching this right now, and so not going to meet the needs of the women that I know in that age group that are moms that watch content online. They don't have time to play, you know, Castlevania online. They just don't have time.
What they're gonna do is open up a window and play a video while they surf Facebook.
Exactly.
That's what they're going to do. They're going to go to the computer in their kitchen or wherever they are, their office, while they're at work. They're going to, like, surf around, and they're going to catch up on something. So I mean, I thought there were some successes with the day, to be fair, and some failures, and I'm glad it's happening. I hope that if nothing else, it raises awareness. I hope that if nothing else, we can raise the percentage of money that's being spent online versus traditional media, because I don't know about you, but there are maybe two shows I watch on television where I don't have my computer in my lap at the same time.
You're right.
So, and I like an immersive experience. I just need television to step it up a little in that way.
Yeah.
But if I'm spending that much time on my computer, then I'm certainly, what I'm doing is watching the show, and during the commercials, I'm messing around online.
Right.
So Tide would be better served putting an ad online than putting it on television at that moment. And
what
sometimes
do you think
they
maybe this did educate some advertisers? Do you think there was some real education going on behind the scenes?
You know, I hope there was. I feel like a lot of companies right now it's not unlike the studios. I feel like they are afraid they're missing the moment, so they want to say that they're participating. So I was looking around going, I hope that these people aren't here just so they could say they went. I think we're going to see ad dollars creep up in terms of percentages of what's spent online. The only way we're going to continue to do that is probably through stuff like the New Front, because you get all of those people in a room together, and then there's a pissing contest that goes on. You know, I mean, they get competitive with each other, and they see one person doing something, so they want to pursue it as well. So it's probably the way it's going to happen. I don't necessarily like that that's the way it's going to happen. I just want us to be part of the conversation, and I want us to see the results of some of that money going online. I don't want to see us shut out of the revenue streams, because
right,
we have built those audiences that are willing to watch web videos. We have worked hard for them.
We primed them. We made them able to watch it. We're the ones that have been there watching people learn to do it.
We taught them how to watch web video. We taught them we taught them that they could. So I want to see us be part of that conversation instead of just being mad about it, I guess. And we should be mad about it. But, you know, anger begets action. Let's knock down the walls. And I'll take the numbers of any millionaires that you know. Uh-oh. I can't hear anymore. I think I lost
you. Did you feel?
Oh, there you are. Now I hear you.
So let me ask you this, because,
yes,
you know, this kind of leads into it. Are you one of those web series? Now, this is Shiz, is designed to make you laugh. Are you one of those web series that's making that average $500,000 free for people?
Okay, okay, that's a joke, right? I mean, come on. But I don't think that people are doing that right now. I don't mind that that's a number being thrown around. I don't mind that Downey thinks that's the kind of money they need to spend online, because I'd like to see us all making shows for $500,000 a season.
If Downey would go around $500,000, I would like them to at least do two shows with that for one season.
I agree. But you know, I like that that's the number being tossed around to the advertisers or to...
Did it make you just for a second go, what?
It made, I went, oh my God, who's getting $500,000? So, I mean, literally out loud alone in my apartment. So I, you know, great, throw that number out to them. We know that that's not what's happening. I don't know, are there shows where that's what's happening? What was the budget for the concession? Do we know? Or what was the budget
know,
for the band and way?
Was on Facebook the other day saying he thinks it's a handful, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And probably the majority of that is going to the Star, so everybody else is probably making less in scale.
I think we all had that same reaction in our houses when we saw it, because I had literally stumbled into the bedroom, into the office from my bedroom, still half asleep, and saw that tweet. And I'm like, what? Average what?
Well, I was like, great, bring it on, man. I can pay my pals.
We budgeted it out. We did the same thing. We were like, do you know what Indiana Tube could do if we had $500,000? We would take $250,000 for ourselves, and then with the other $250,000, we could fund ourselves for the next 5 years with everything travel. And then with the other $250,000, we could fund how many web series? I don't know, 5, 6?
All of them. I'm sitting here going, do you know how many people I could employ? Bring it. Do it, man. Do it. Slap that money down. I am waiting. I am open. Bring it on.
Right. I was like, okay, where do I pitch? Come on now.
I mean, meanwhile, we're running our Drifter crowdfunding campaign right now, hoping for like what seems like a lot of money to me, but it seems so paltry compared to that.
Well, what is your goal for Drifter? I don't have it up in front of me now.
Our goal is $25,000.
Right,
that's a lot.
But I look at that.
We have to build a spaceship, and we have a lot of visual effects. I mean, it's a lot, and I hope that we get there. We're not quite halfway through the campaign yet, but it's a lot. I mean, it's sci-fi, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. It was just there were things like that, and then the Xerox thing that I talked about earlier just drove me up the wall. I literally joked about that for the rest of the afternoon and the whole next day. I kept looking at her going, you are kidding.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Like, who are they hiring to be their digital person? Who's running their Twitter feed? I mean, come on. And I look at some of the stuff, too. I had a little Twitter interaction with someone from Newsweek a couple of weeks ago that got conflict-oriented. And I love Newsweek, and I buy Newsweek, and I've been a subscriber to Newsweek. And I was like, who's the Yahoo they hire to run their Twitter stream that has no idea how to interact with people on Twitter?
but you see that a lot. Don't you see that a lot with web series too, that they have no clue how to interact on Twitter and Facebook beyond just being a little news feed about their show?
Yeah, and I realize it's hard. I always like to look at it like advocating for things instead of selling. And I tell actors all the time, everybody knows you're an actor. Tom Cruise is looking for his next movie. They know you need a job. You don't need to tell them you need a job. I think the same thing is true with a web series. If they're following you on Twitter, they already know about your show. Post the videos, talk about other stuff. You let them know when the thing is up. But to say, view our show it's advocate for yourself instead of, I don't know, demanding things from people, I guess.
Or, like you said, just putting up an Indiegogo or Kickstarter campaign and going, we will get it. We'll make the money.
That's amazing to me. I mean, you have to drive all of your own traffic. It's a beast, and it must be fed on a daily basis, and it's exhausting. Oh, speaking of which, we have a new fun Drifter video up today. It's Avengers versus Justice. We did a little geek versus geek. We had a production meeting that devolved into an argument about the Avengers and the Justice League, so we filmed it and put it up.
Oh, please. Okay, I have to ask you. God, I don't want to be disillusioned with you at all.
Okay.
Avengers or Justice League?
Okay, here's the thing. I am a sci-fi girl. I am a sports girl. I was not a comic book girl growing up. However, I did watch the Justice League religiously on cartoons.
Yeah!
So Wonder Woman, I am with Wonder Woman forever and ever. I mean, wherever Wonder Woman is, she's my girl. So I always fall down on the Justice League. That said, I can't wait to see the Avengers movie. I think it's going to be awesome sauce, and Joss Whedon rocks. So.
Yeah, I mean, I love Joss Whedon, and I'll go see the movie, but it was funny. When we were at the convention last weekend, all I wanted was a Captain Marvel t-shirt.
Yes.
And I'm like, first t-shirt thing I went into, and I'm like, screw you and your Avengers. I need some Justice League because I need a Captain Marvel t-shirt like yesterday.
Okay, and this is a little bit of a non sequitur, but what's up with the Halo web series? Is it going to be good or is it going to suck? Because date night at our house is a full campaign of Halo and stovetop popcorn. So is it going to suck? I can't handle it if it sucks.
I hope not. I just started playing Halo recently.
I love it.
And I'm in love
with Cortana. I'm dying to be Cortana. I love it.
Wait, if you like Cortana, you need to watch The Steps.
You watch the web series The Steps?
Okay, I heard them when you guys interviewed them, and I was geeking out.
Because the woman who does the voice of Cortana is in the second season, the finale of the second. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like in Halo Reach, too, that I can be a girl.
Yes.
I haven't played Halo
Reach. I can
be
a badass girl. Yeah.
I have to have that now.
It's so good. It's so good.
I've got 1, 2, and 3. I don't have Reach.
Reach. I love Reach.
So I have to get that now. I think it's going to be good. Microsoft seems to be really wanting to put, because their movie keeps tanking, right? They can't make the Halo movie happen.
Right.
So this is going to be their...
Video game movies are really dicey.
I know it. But have you seen Halo Helljumper, the live-action web series that's already out there?
No, I have not, and you sent me it today, and it's on my little list now.
It's not bad. The acting's a little shaky in parts, but it's not bad. I hope.
Aren't they the ones that are producing for Felicia? Aren't they doing The Guild now?
Microsoft? Yeah, they're the big sponsor behind The Guild.
And not that means they learned anything, because she's obviously running that ship, but I hope it's good.
I hope they've learned something from her, because, you know, they were hands off with The Guild and her.
Right.
So maybe they did.
Bless them for that. That's great. Yeah. This is a really good example of what we were just talking about with the new friends. Felicia Day hooks up with Microsoft. Microsoft funds her show. She gets to go do it the way she wants to do it, and she gets to pay everybody. So I want to see that for all of us. I want to see a perfect marriage for all of us. But we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to fight our way in there, just like we fight for views, just like we fight for press, just like we fight to even just get through production.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to make people understand, brands and all that we're not all trying to get rich. We just want to make a living wage and have our shows be sustainable.
Yes. Yes. I just want to pay my rent.
A roof over my head and to keep doing what I'm doing because it helps other people and I am good at it.
And honestly, I would take money last. I just want to pay my guys.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to pay my folks. I just want to run a ship where I can pay my folks. We just want to make sure
that we don't keep dropping off.
That's right. And people do extraordinary work on my set, and I want to compensate them for it, even if it's not TV money. I just want to compensate them for it.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I totally understand that.
And I think we have not found the business model for that yet. I mean, crowdfunding is working for us, but it's not a business model. And we need to be looking for that business model.
And you know what's funny is I have had many, many, many conversations with your cohort there about what business model is eventually going to work with this space, me and Jeff.
Yes.
It's a constant conversation, and I think it's one that we all need to continually have, in that there is a business model out there that will work for this space. But
we've yet to find it. Because honestly, and somebody said, what did they say earlier, the only people making money in the comment thread on crowdfunding campaigns is Kickstarter and Indiegogo. Mm-hmm. The only people making money right now on ad-supported web series are Blip and YouTube, and I mean, is the actual aggregator, is the actual site that you're putting stuff up on. I mean, we're certainly not seeing dough from it. I mean, you might see a little, but it's not a business model that's solving the problem for us. So it is out there, and we have to continue to look for it and find it. But we got to participate in all levels of what's being talked about in order to do that. And we got to be able to say to the advertisers, look, some of the crap that you saw at the New Front is crap. There's better stuff out there. Here's what it is. But look, this is exciting, and this is how this applies to you.
And we can't be afraid to step up and say, yes, the New Fronts were a great event. Yes, the IWTV Awards were a great event, but they can be better, and here's how.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I'm not even saying it was a great event. I'm saying it's a necessary event, and mm-hmm. we all need to participate in making them better, and we all need to participate in elbowing our way in.
Yeah, I don't believe in checking out at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't want to, like, turn away because I'm an indie producer. I don't want to assume that doesn't apply to me. I want it to apply to all of us. I want these guys coming after us. I want us to find a way to educate them on what's great out there in the web and what that audience is and who they can speak to for you know, who are they looking to speak to and how can they do it through us. So, you know, yeah. There's a way. But
this has got to drive you crazy as much as us to constantly hear, well, that doesn't apply to us and it's never going to apply to us. When really I want to say, well, okay, so if it doesn't apply to us now, how do we change that? Because if we just sit back and take it and assume that that's fact, of course it'll never apply to us.
Or just ignore it and go, I'm rogue and indie. And you know what? We're all rogue. That's a given. We're in this space. And we're doing it guerrilla style in most cases. And we've taken the steps to be in this space. At some point, that's going to become valuable. At some point, we're going to start to see these people with successful web series start to, migrate into the studio system, and then they'll be smarter about it. Or migrate into, you know, at some point, the people running these Twitter feeds, they'll get smart, and it'll actually be somebody who knows how to run Twitter, who knows how to run a Twitter account. So it's going to come around, but we've got to keep barreling through and finding the way. We can't ignore the people with the money.
No.
Or just say, oh, they're stupid. And you know what? Let's just say they're uneducated in this space. But we got to educate them. We got to bring them into the fold.
If we don't do it, somebody else will that won't have our best interest at heart. So we need to be there doing it. And we need people like you and Darren Strauss speaking for our community, and David Van Eysen and Steve Silverman and Ivan Hayden from...
We have amazing advocates in this space.
You are a good advocate for this space.
You are a good advocate for this space.
Wow, that's a love fest now. But no, what I'm saying is that you understand what it is we need to see, and you understand that, as well as the other people that I mentioned, that you can't just stop talking. You have to, like, elbow for your space, and you have to talk yourself up, and you have to you have value for all that we do.
Yes.
And you also have to out the stupidity when you see it, maybe be nice about it, but you can't just act like it doesn't exist. You can say, oh, come on.
Well, here's the thing. Because I come from the acting world I come from, I know development execs, and I know producers in the space, and they are fascinated by what we're doing, and they don't know, I mean, now granted, it's not, you know, the president of ABC, but they're fascinated by what's going on, and they want to be educated, and they want to talk about it. So rather than be bitter about it, we need to continue to engage them about it. And I'm really proud. A lot of them watched all of them. We got help. I mean, it was their introduction into the web world and loved it and contributed to our crowdfunding campaign. And we have to continue to bring that world into our space. And they know that that's where the exciting writing and directing is coming from right now. They know that that's where tomorrow's voices are being cultivated. They just don't know what to do with it yet. But they all will own up unless they're selling to their stockholders and they're afraid.
But
they will own up that that's where the new and exciting voices are.
I think you're right. And I think another good thing about people like you and the others that we mentioned and many other indie creators being, like you said, eventually moving up into the system or becoming the ones who are the holders of the money for either brands or studios is that I have faith that you, and I have hope that many of the other people, and I know myself, none of us would forget where we came from.
Oh, gosh.
Therefore, in by moving up, we are changing the way business is done.
Well, I have another agenda, too, because, you know, I read a lot of crap in terms of scriptage for traditional media. And I want to see, there's so much exciting work happening on the web, and I want to see it influence television.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see some of these women. I want to see there are amazing minority voices. Our numbers for women and minorities particularly, no offense against the white boys, but our percentages online are far higher than they are in traditional media in terms of writers and directors and producers. And I want to see those voices infiltrate the traditional media world. I want to see us move in that direction. So I want to see, I don't think the web will ever go away for any of us that started here, but I want to see everybody. I want to see television programming change, and I want to see us be the ones that change it.
Well, you know how else it's going to have to change that we can lead the way into is that I don't think, and this will be something we talk about more at length, I'm sure, when we have you on the show again, our economy may not go back ever again to the way that it was.
Yes,
the entertainment industry in particular. So we may never see those salaries again. We may never see those things again. We may never get to that point. And indie creators are the ones who know how to produce television for less than $2 million a season. For less than, you know, what was being spent. And we may never get back there. So we may have to turn all over again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the soaps just got so big that they couldn't Well, I think multiple things killed the soaps, and not killed the soaps, but, you know, have driven them off of television. And one of the things was they got so big that the business model wasn't sustainable anymore. And the other thing is cable came along and started putting up primetime programming in the middle of the day. So they had other scripted programming competing with them. But, all of the business models are going to change. This pilot season, there was a lot of talk about the money changing and being less than, and so fewer film stars are going to start to be willing to cross over, and it's the model is all going to change. I just want to see us be part of it. I want to see us, you know, move even further into the world. And eventually, all the content is going to be available on your television anyway, and we're really close to that moment. It's not going to matter. It's going to be content-driven instead of appointments. TV, which
and you're
going
to see, I think you're going to see indie people who say, you know what, you don't have to go, you don't have to take traditional television to cheaply produced reality TV. We can show you how to do good script programming for less than what you're used to doing it.
And I also don't think everything belongs on television. Not everything belongs on the web, in my opinion. A lot of the reality that's happening on the web, here's what really drove me crazy at the New Fronts. There were so many freaking reality shows being advertised on the internet, and I was watching one of them, and I was like, why would I watch this? I can get that on at least three different channels 24 hours a day on my television, so why would I watch that on the web?
And I do not understand that push for all of these studios to be giving money, and you look at like a slate, not to call anybody out, but a slate of Yahoo's programs, and how much of that is reality? Too much.
Maybe the majority of it. I mean, it's crazy. And so I want us, especially, I think most of your audience are scripted web series content creators. I want to see us take the world by storm. But to do that, we got to be part of the process, and we're going to have to, you know, knock a few teeth out to get in.
I love that when you talk like that.
When I talk about knocking a few teeth out?
I've been telling people for the last year and a half, they're not looking for you. They're not going to come looking for you. If you want your space, if we all want our space, we have to take it.
Yeah, agreed.
And claim it and be proud of it.
Agreed. And we deserve money in our space.
Yes, we do.
You know, a plumber goes to school and has health insurance and a pension and makes a living wage, and we deserve that as well. Not to compare it to plumbers, but you know what I'm saying. So, I want to see that happen for all of us.
Anyway, me too. I can't wait to have you on the show again.
Did anybody else call in? Am I using other people's time?
No. They're all talking in the chat room about stuff that you're saying. So,
okay.
It's all good.
Zelda is talking again about she was 19 when she worked for NASA. I'm completely freaking out that she worked. I'm completely freaking out about that.
You know she knows Doc Whedon too, right?
Yeah.
No. Oh my God.
She's talked in the chat room before, and to us when we were in LA about the conversation she had with him about Tara and Willow.
Infamous do not kill the lesbian combo with him.
Oh my God, I'm freaking out.
Don't
I'm, just, like, I'm literally my face is like red right now. I'm completely freaking out.
See?
Oh my God.
You learn something new every
right?
day.
I want Zelda to write a book.
I do too.
But Zelda's going to be so awesome about it that she will write it and it won't get published or made until like after she's passed.
Yeah.
Oh, screw that. She can put it up online and we'll all download it.
Yeah, she can run an Indiegogo campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I can't wait to have you on the show again. This is the perfect way to end our show. I'm so glad you called it.
I just read a comment about, well, am I not supposed to say that, Miss Riley, about plumbers?
You can say whatever you want.
I need to poop more urgently than I need entertainment, and flush, I need to flush.
Absolutely. This is important.
That's Amanda, okay. You know what? You might need that. I'm still going to be Norma Rae for the web world. I'm still going to hold up my sign, yeah, and I'm still going to fight for all of us to have a living wage and make a little money.
We will be right there behind you, but I have to tell you that Amanda had her experience with the non-flush variety when she got...
What's happening?
She had her very first experience with a bus station bathroom recently.
Oh, no. Wait, was it in the hotel? Was this the food poisoning incident?
No. This is like
it was when we were catching the bus in Vancouver to come back.
April
to
was the one that had the food poisoning, which was fantastic because she troopered right on through. It's like, I'm on the bus, I'm getting off the bus, we're stopping the bus, and now I'm getting back on the bus, we're good. It was going into the bus depot bathroom and just kind of realizing that even in the subways, in the worst subway in New York, the bathroom is still probably better than this bathroom. It was just
she said it was like a horror movie.
It was. Like, the tiles were all yellow. There was a light that was flickering. And the baby changing table had a sticker on it that says, cash for usage. I'm like, is it going to snap shut on the baby after the timer runs out? Like, what's going on in the bathroom?
You know it's bad when she comes back out to me and says, unless you really have to go, don't.
For the love of God.
I felt so bad for you. I've had food poisoning in hotels twice, and I don't.
Well, I just saw the bus on the way in. I'm like, you have to stop right now. I have to get a card and find that anesthetician's office that I ran into to be sick and give her a card. But that's a story for another day.
And now we're talking about. Thank you.
What a note to end on.
That's the note we end on. Julie, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Living wage.
I agree. Living wage.
Living wage. And we can't wait to have you on again.
I can't wait either. I'll talk to you girls later.
Okay.
Bye.
That's the sign she's going to hold up. While
yay, Drifter. And go to Drifter's Indiegogo campaign. Check out their new video. And donate to their campaign.
I think that Julie and Emery will be standing there with a sign that says, you know, living wage, dressed as Wonder Woman. With, like, 10 people behind her. With
she's going to be standing there with a living wage dressed like Wonder Woman, and you and I are going to be standing right behind her with our fists in the air. Yeah. What she said. We'll be her her bodyguards. Her indie living wage web series bodyguards. Right?
Right.
And so we're still booking guests for this month.
Yes.
We have lots of stuff planned out for you. Guess what's coming up on Sunday?
What?
We have more interesting stuff from Fan Expo Vancouver.
Wonder Woman.
I think we have Lexa Doig and
Victor Webster
coming up on Sunday.
Eric Layden and a whole bunch
Hitman
of
101.
And Standard Action.
We've got all kinds of really great content for you. On Sunday, and now I want to do a photo manipulation of Julianne Emery with us behind her with our heads down and our fists in the air. Web series power!
Instead of liberate, we're in living wage.
Living wage, web series power! With a big fist in the air, standing behind her while she holds up the sign.
Two in the air.
We've got to find a way to Photoshop that.
I'll figure it out.
We've got to Photoshop it.
I'll figure it out.
So you definitely do not want to miss Sunday's show.
No!
Because there'll be a lot more of this.
Yes.
This is Commander Shepard. and this is my favorite podcast and live-hosted web series on the Citadel.
You know, she could.
You need to listen to Commander Shepard, and she says, Commander Shepard says, watch Indiana 2.
Right, and she could have been any other character in that moment.
Give the newest Weird Girls contributor, McKenna, some love on the social media platforms. Say congratulations to Divanity for reaching their funding goal.
Yay!
Yay. Which is amazing. Armless just drew his sword, said, I have the funding. Yeah. We're going to be like this crazy kind of, and with Zelda leading the way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Now I have Julianne Emery as you know, Wonder Woman in my head. It's going to be there all night long.
Really? Because
you guys are the best. I love open phone, open topic shows. It is so much to talk about.
If we're lucky, we'll have one next week. If we're even more luckier, we'll have
and
a guest.
And Karen Hayes, do not think that we did not watch Breaking Point. We will be talking more about that on Sunday. I think there's some stuff going on.
That last scene, I was like, oh, God, this house is going to die. With the bathroom, and then other stuff happens.
Oh,
like,
no. You know what I was thinking at the end of Breaking Point? Was that's who she slept with.
Yes.
That's who she slept
not
with.
Not only that, but her husband said, what man has the balls to do that? Serious. It's like, bitch, you are baby daddy.
He's baby daddy.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope Karen Hayes is listening to that, knowing I have words for her.
Words!
Carrie Bowman, you need to consider our offer to you. Something we need to make happen as soon as you're done with your anti-Facebook writing deal, Doobie. Because we would like you to come on and co-host a show for us.
Yeah.
Oh, and there, Julianne Emery has now put up the Drifter Justice League video.
Woo!
And it, because she's singing Wonder Woman in it,
Wonder
I have
Woman!
To know. Oh, no, it says the video is unavailable.
Oh, sorry about that.
I can't get to it.
It's because you're not getting the rest of the link. You have to copy and paste it because it doesn't go after the question mark.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay, hold
no.
on.
It doesn't. You have to copy and paste YouTube links because YouTube puts a question mark in their link tag, and Blog Talk reads that as a thing.
Oh, nope.
Or maybe not. Maybe
the video is unavailable.
Boop.
So I hope that Carrie Bowman will actually decide to co-host the show with us on some
figure
upcoming
it
date.
Out. Carrie's anti-Facebook right now?
She is at the moment. She's
oh,
writing.
Is she taking her sabbatical?
She is, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I'm glad.
So I hope that Carrie will do
though.
That with us. Hopefully soon.
No link. Seth is anti-Facebook, but that's for completely different reasons.
So anyway, Carrie Bowman, consider that. And please, guys, know that our upcoming documentary reality series...
Indie Interstate,
as we go cross-country, is coming. And we are going to be launching an Indiegogo campaign for that.
And that little nickname there was provided to you by Venice Riley.
Indie Interstate?
Indie Interstate.
I like it. I like it. Indie Interstate is a good thing. Commander Shepard likes it, too.
Does she?
And no, I'm not going to play it again.
Oh. She can't copy and paste, but she's going to put it on Twitter. So, Julianne
I'm
Emery.
Watching... Her Twitter feed.
At Julianne Emery will be posting on Twitter.
And I know you guys, I have a list of web series that you guys told me to check out. The Debt Collectors, Dead Grandma, hosted by John Heater. We're always looking for new web series. So please, please, please continue. Because we will watch them. I am so grateful to everybody who introduced us to Squaresville.
This is Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast and live-hosted web series. This is Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast and...